Welcome, this is James Corbett, and you're tuned into CorbettReport.com on the 13th of December, 2011, and today we're talking to Professor Michel Chalcedovsky of the Center for Research on Globalization at globalresearch.ca. Professor Chalcedovsky, obviously in recent months we've seen the steps towards war taking place in many different potential battlefields, and just some of those include, of course, Pakistan, where we recently saw airstrikes that have left 26 Pakistani military personnel dead and led to the closing down of the Pakistani borders to NATO, a very serious development for the resupply of NATO troops in Afghanistan. We've seen the downing of a reconnaissance drone in Iran recently, obviously a very serious step towards war in a very volatile situation. And we've also seen the increasing steps towards war in Syria. To what extent is it useful to look at these various incidents as isolated incidents, and to what extent is it useful to look at them more as one continuous part of a broader geopolitical strategy?
We are evolving towards an integrated Middle East war theater, Middle East Central Asian war theater, where military initiatives have been taken by the United States and its allies in Pakistan, Iran through covert operations, and Syria through the process of regime change, which is ongoing, but which also consists in supporting insurgent groups within that country and ultimately destabilizing the regime. What must be understood is that all these military as well as covert initiatives are centralized. They're part of a single military agenda. They're not separate initiatives, and they're not separate war theaters. So that when we look at Pakistan, Iran, Syria, and bearing in mind that we already have several war theaters which are active within that region, namely Afghanistan, Iraq, and Palestine, of a somewhat different nature, what we get is an extended war theater from the Eastern Mediterranean right through to the Chinese border. All these countries have common borders. Syria has a border with Iraq. Iraq has a border with Iran. Pakistan has borders with Iran and Afghanistan. So that essentially what is likely to occur if a new military initiative is launched is that that whole region will flare up from the Eastern Mediterranean right through to the Chinese border. And I should mention that China and Russia are part of this equation. We are at a very dangerous crossroads. The United States and its allies are waging wars in different parts of the world. They're using sophisticated weapon systems, covert operations, regime change. These are weapons of the 21st century. They contemplate the use of nuclear weapons, ironically against Iran, which does not possess nuclear weapons. These are tactical nuclear weapons, which have an explosive capacity between one-third and six times a Hiroshima bomb. And they are classified, and they have been classified, as safe for the surrounding civilian population by the Senate and can be used in the conventional war theater. This is a World War III scenario. It's the globalization of war. It is the long war, which was defined in various national security documents, military documents. It's the war without borders contained in the project of the New American Century, which was formulated by the neocons in the year 2000. What we must understand is that these military initiatives, particularly those directed against Iran, Syria, and Pakistan, could unleash a global war. Pakistan is a military power. Iran has advanced capabilities to defend itself, has had very large conventional forces. Syria is a country of more than 20 million population. We have the Russian Navy in the Eastern Mediterranean. China is being threatened by the United States as well in the South China Sea. in areas adjacent to the Korean Peninsula, and of course Russia is threatened on its European border, in other words, on its western border with the European Union, on the pretext that the missile defense system is directed against Iran, but everybody knows that this is directed against the against Russia and the former republics of the Soviet Union, many of which are tied into military cooperation agreements with Russia and China under the Shanghai Cooperation Agreement. So we are at a very, very dangerous crossroads. This is the globalization of war. Unfortunately, World War III is not front page news. We have a lot of coverage of Kyoto, of global warming, of various other soft threats, but the issue of global war and an extended regional war in the Middle East, Central Asian region is simply not contemplated, doesn't make the tabloids, and people are misinformed. The anti-war movement is not involved in any meaningful action. Many segments of the anti-war movement are in fact supportive of NATO's humanitarian doctrine, responsibility to protect, media distortions are grotesque to the extent that images are being fake images are being presented to public opinion to convey a particular perception of this evolving new world order.
Well then, Michel, given that the almost inevitable outcome of a flare-up in any one of these regions, as you say, is almost inevitably World War III, what really is the military strategy involved here? Is this a question of the Pentagon planners believing that they can win all-out World War III scenario?
Well, we're dealing with a very complex decision-making process where those who decide... And invariably, the civilians that decide, the people in the Pentagon and the State Department, who decide on particular stages of military planning, and ultimately, well, then the green light is given to a military operation. But I think what is very important to understand is that those who decide tacitly believe their own propaganda ploy. Namely, they are not aware that the use of tactical nuclear weapons, which are heralded in military documents as an instrument of peace, are actually weapons of mass destruction. And they are not aware that by pressing the button of a war on Iran, that the whole region flares up, and that this is that ultimately the future of humanity is threatened. So that it's the logic of a complex decision-making process at various levels, both at the levels of politicians as well as military command. It's the hierarchy of the military command structure. It's the relationship between the United States, NATO, and Israel, which are the main partners in this military alliance. We're dealing with a formidable force, any kind of military action could easily get out of control and lead us into a nuclear war. This we have to understand, particularly in view of the fact that the assurances that we had, the mutually assured destruction concept of the Cold War years is no longer there, and nuclear weapons have been reclassified, and nuclear weapons are deployed. We must understand they're not only deployed by the United States, Israel, and France and Britain, they're deployed by countries such as Belgium, Holland, Germany, Turkey, and Italy. These countries have tactical nuclear weapons under national command, and they are directed at Iran.
Very worrying developments indeed. Michel Chossudovsky, thank you for your time today.
Thank you very much. delighted to be on the program.